First of all, I would like to say thank you for having me. And I was supposed to be here last Sunday night and did not get a chance to make it. Got some conflicts and I apologize for that. I would like to say that my name is LaDonna and I'm an addict. And I'm a grateful recovering addict. My clean date is 4/24/1994, and for that, I'm grateful. I am an individual that got my foundation at Austin Recovery after a few attempts at getting clean. I don't know about you, but if you are here tonight and you're fighting to keep your kids, I need to tell you I got you. If you're here tonight and you just can't stop smoking dope or shooting dope or drinking alcohol, I need to tell you that I got you. I don't know about you, but I wanted to get clean long before I got clean. I hit my bottom years before I got clean. I just started living in my bottom. I'm a kid of the 50s. And I began to smoke marijuana in the 70s. I began to drink when I was about 13 years old. I'm from the Never Let Them See You Sweat tribe, and I'm a card-carrying member of the Head Rag Brigade. What do you mean by that, LaDonna? I mean I was raised by women who took no prisoners. I was raised by women that told me you should never be broke. You sitting on money. I was raised by women that told me every dysfunctional thing that I knew about living because that was the best that they had. And I took that information and honed it down to a fine science. My first drug, I believe, in my mind was fantasy. I always wanted something that wasn't there. I played with imaginary friends. I'm the youngest of three children by 10 years. So it was just really me. My mom was an alcoholic, so I'm also an adult child of an alcoholic. Drinking was a rite of passage in my house. Smoking weed was what we did in Oakland, California. So I need to tell you that even though I graduated from high school, even though I had a pro-social lifestyle as a young girl, I grew up, left college after 5 years, and began to make some mistakes in my life that would change the trajectory of my life forever. I need to tell you that I did everything that a woman does when she's smoking crack. My drug of choice was marijuana, but crack brought me to my knees. And it wasn't until I got to Austin, Texas, was where I found my recovery. And I found it at Austin Recovery. I need to tell you that I made every mistake that a woman could make with her kids. So if you're sitting there, some of you all are sitting there with your children and you might have made mistakes, I need to tell you to hold on because help is on its way. That just because you made a mistake doesn't mean that you are a mistake. My family removed my kids from my custody because I was smoking dope and making all the mistakes that a woman could make with her children.
No, they don't have Austin Recovery still.
I need to tell you that it was a long walk from the dope houses of Oakland, California to sit where I sit today. So I need to tell you that recovery is a change in ideas. A recovery is a change in the things that I do. I need to tell you tonight that my journey is a journey of someone who was taught things that wasn't right. And recovery has taught me things that have shown me how to live. We have a saying. The program that I got clean in was Narcotics Anonymous. And I don't tell anybody to go anywhere. I tell you to find your tribe. Find your tribe wherever you feel comfortable. Once you leave Austin Recovery, find your tribe. What I know today is that had I not gotten the foundation that I got from Austin Recovery, I wouldn't be clean. What do you mean by that? Our first step says, and I'm just going to take a walk. Our first step says we admitted that we were powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable. So what that meant for me is that I had to look at all my unmanageability. If you wake up on Monday and you don't go to bed until Thursday, LaDonna, your life might just be unmanageable. If your kids are like needing to eat and you're not available to cook for them, your life might be unmanageable. If you sleeping with faceless men, LaDonna, and you don't know their names, your life might be unmanageable. If you sleeping for dope, LaDonna, your life might be unmanageable. If you not paying your rent, LaDonna, your life might be unmanageable. If you giving your car away to the dope boys, your life might be unmanageable. So I had to look at the unmanageability in my life. If you haven't taken a bath in a few days, LaDonna, your life might be unmanageable. If you would rather barter between buying dope and eating a meal, your life might be unmanageable. One of the things that when at the end of the road, we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on as best we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proven itself to many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous. And when I got clean and I heard that and I touched down and I made a decision that I wasn't going to use crack cocaine anymore, I was at the end of my road. I couldn't turn no more tricks. I couldn't be with any more faceless men. I was done. I don't know about you all. I was tired of being last place in the turtle race. I was tired of being a zero instead of the hero that I was. So our second step says we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. What is a power greater than yourself? Right now is that treatment facility you sitting in. So I need to tell you to put on your seatbelt and just sit. Sit. When that head tells you, you don't need, look, that head will tell you, F them, I don't want to be here. I'm sick of sitting up around me. Look, tie a knot and hang on, baby. That is a power greater than yourself. Doing the work that you have to do, that's a power greater than yourself. When I sat out in Buda at Austin Recovery, I sat up under a tree. My mother had died. Everyone that I knew, everything that I was familiar with was no longer in my life. And I wrote and I wrote and I wrote and I wrote because I was tired. I was tired. Active addiction had beat me down to the lowest common denominator. Active addiction had taken all of my self-esteem, all of my self-worth, all of my values. Had fit on a pipe with room to spare. So when the second step says we came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, then I got to admit that I'm insane, right? That my behavior was insane. That the things that I would do were insane. Just like today, I don't kill myself with dope anymore, but on any given day, I might try to kill myself with a spoon, eating up all the ice cream in the house. That's addiction. It's made up of obsession and compulsion when you get a fixed idea. And then the physical manifestation of that thought takes you to a different place. The third step says, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood it. What is my will in my life, LaDonna? It's my thinking and my actions. What that means is I'm under new management. I don't have to figure it out for myself. What that means is I got to show up to grow up. What that means is I have to take a back seat to the God of my understanding. And in my case, it's the God I don't understand, because my God kept me when I was doing everything to take myself out. And my God was so good. He came and got me. I don't know about y'all, but God came and got me out the dope house. And how I got to Austin Recovery is only another miracle. So in my third step process, I begin the process of surrender. I begin the process of surrender. I begin the process of letting go. I begin the process of thinking I know it all. And I turn my will and my life over to the care of God. At that point, I didn't know what was in the future for me, but I remember the last time that I got high, April 23rd, 1994. I was from Oakland, California, and I found myself in Austin, Texas, one more time with a crack pipe hanging out of my mouth. And I left out of that place in the middle of the night, and I said, God, if you help me keep this pipe out of my mouth, I will serve your people. I didn't even know what that was going to look like. I don't even know why I said what I said. Because at that point in my life, I was a self-centered jerk. I'm talking about the one that was so self-centered, I chose dope over my kids. So self-absorbed that my two beautiful little daughters that I wanted to have, I chose men and dope over my kids. I walked away from being a mother because the desire to use was so intense. And I need to tell you, in that third step process, I begin to change. My thinking began to shift. And I was ready to do some more work. And our fourth step says we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. That means I had to search my soul like I used to search on the floor for that dope. That I had to search my soul like I used to search for them tricks at night. That I had to do something different with my life. And I remember that fourth step was something that is like, look, you got to introduce you to you. And then you got to share it with somebody. We call those people a sponsor. And once you share it with somebody, I got into a six-step process. And I became entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. And I need to tell you that I talk about the steps because that is what helped me with the transformational change. It helped me to see me coming. Because by the time I used to see me coming, it was over. Jackpot. I was hearing everybody talk about their parents and whipping. My mother had a fan belt on the door of her bedroom. See, when I came up in the 60s, that was what they called obedience. I didn't know that was child abuse. I thought everybody's mama had a fan belt on the door. Because all you had to do was get hit one time and you wasn't going to get hit anymore. All of that came out in my fourth step. All of those faceless men stealing from my mother, stealing from my children, stealing from my husband, leaving on Friday and not coming back till Monday. And I had kids in the house, stealing from my job, not going to work. I'm an educated woman, but it doesn't matter how much education you have. Dope is always gonna win. Dope is always gonna take you out of your character, LaDonna. I was a good old church girl. Dope always is gonna win. What? What, LaDonna? And the seventh step says, we humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. What does that mean, LaDonna? It means that I might fall short, but I don't have to stay short. That you gonna make mistakes along the way. That you gonna wanna fill the void once you stop using. In the second step, it says, first we stop using, then we experience the pain of not using. What does that mean? It means it's going to be some pain connected when you can't use no dope no more. There's going to be some pain when those thoughts start coming back, LaDonna, and you start thinking about you will never be able to make amends to your mother, the person that you hurt the most, because God took her home before you got clean. So if you sitting in here and your mother left before you got clean, I'm going to tell you once again to tie a knot and hang on. The eighth step says, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. That you just got to make a list, LaDonna. Just make the list. You don't make amends to the ninth step. So why don't you just make a list? And then become willing to make amends. Does that mean that everybody going to be cool with you? No. No, 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 no. It does not, LaDonna. Don't think just because you get clean, LaDonna, everybody gonna start trusting you. Nobody still gonna give you the keys to their car. Nope. Right? You gonna go home and they still gonna make sure you're not stealing out of their purses, LaDonna. So just look, put on your seatbelt and tie. Now, why don't they see I'm trying? Because it's not for them to see. It's for me to see. And eventually, if I keep doing the right thing long enough, they'll see. I don't have to ask them to see. How do I know that? Because I've stayed clean. I'm 26 years in this game. 26 years. And I just, look, my trust didn't come overnight. I couldn't be found when my mother died, but when my older sister took her last breath in 2016, I was sitting in the house with her. You feel me? That God gave me, God, look, it's something about what the step work can do that could change you from the inside out. I had no idea when I sat at Austin Recovery that I would work at Austin Recovery for 10 years, that I would become a counselor at Austin Recovery. From 1997 to 2008, I was an employee at Austin Recovery. I'm talking about working my way up from a tech, a monitor, to a counselor. And when I left there, I was the alumni coordinator. I'm talking about old dreams reawakening, new possibilities arrive. That if you just keep doing the next right thing, I dare you to do the next right thing. I dare you not to put no dope in your body and see what'll happen. I dare you. I'm 63 years old. And I need to tell you that I'm living the best life I could ever live today. When I got clean, I was 36 years old. I was 36 years old. And I didn't have a key. Last year in February, one of my daughters, my younger daughter, she said, Mom, I'm going to put us in a house. I'm talking about that same kid I walked away from. I want to make sure you are right. You understand what I'm saying? And she followed through and she brought us the house that we live in today. I'm talking about you can't do the work. You can't dream of what step work in the God of your understanding will do. So I make those amends by being the best person I can be, one day at a time. And I don't know about y'all, this crazy thing that I got up here. When I got here, I was a grown-up teenager. And I just started to feel like an adult because I always wanted a man to fix me. I always wanted a dude to save me. I always wanted a dude to ride in on a horse and come get me. And I was addicted to validation from a man just like I was the dope. And I ain't no man hater, but there came a time when I was tired of giving myself away because that came with the dope life. You understand? So you became so ready to just give yourself away. I suffer from post-traumatic crumb disorder. All you got to do is give me a little bit. All you got to do is tell me I'm fine. All you had to do was tell me you wanted to be with me. Post-traumatic crumb disorder. You didn't have to work hard to get me. And then about 10 years ago, I'm talking about at 53, some things changed in my life. And I didn't want to just be clean. I wanted to be healthy. I need to tell you today that I'm a pastor with a clean day. I'm a pastor with a dope story. That's what I need to tell you today. I didn't know that was coming down the pipe when I got clean. I didn't know being a counselor was. But God has some stuff for me. If you just chill out for a minute, if you just hold on for a minute, I got something for you. If you just let me drive and get in the back seat, I have something for you. I'm the grandmother of four. I'm the mother of three. All of my children are now in Texas. I need to tell you that when I started this journey 26 years ago, I didn't know what it was going to look like. All I knew was that I was going to stay on the journey. That's all I knew. That's all I knew. And today I wake up with the person that I respect the most, and it's me. I go to bed with the person I like the most, and it's me. I began to see the beauty in myself on a different level because my 10th step says that I can continue to take personal inventory and when I'm wrong, promptly admit it. So I've learned that when I mess up, I fess up. And the quicker I fess up, the better I'm gonna feel. And that if I want you to forgive me, I gotta learn how to forgive you. And the 11th step says we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him. Praying only for God, the knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. That's a tall order. I call it the big girl step. Because what I'm saying is I only want what you want for me. And I'm willing to wait until you give it to me. I'm talking about that God I don't understand. See, I don't understand how God kept me with everything I was doing. I don't understand how he took me from a zero to a hero in my own sight. Because see, today you don't have to validate me. I can validate myself. Do I still make mistakes? Hell yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Does this thing that live in my... Let me tell you something. This place is a dangerous place to play. Don't go there without a supervision, LaDonna. And the 12th step says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to addicts and to practice these principles in all our affairs. What you talking about? I'm talking about my new toolbox: honesty, faith, hope, self-discipline, perseverance, spirituality, service. What you talking about, LaDonna? Willingness. Because see, I'm the girl that said, if I said, some of you guys know how it is, I'm going to take that to my grave. I'm not ever going to tell anybody that thing. But what I come to know is that very thing that you'll take to your grave, it might kill you. So I've learned to give it up. I've learned to look at myself through a different set of lens. I have a grandson that think his granny hung the moon. I was a horrible mother. But I can sit here today and tell you I'm the best damn grandmother there is. I have a set of twin grandchildren, 2 years old, a little boy and a little girl. And they wear me out, but it's a good feeling, because I did things today that I was too ignorant to do when I had my daughters. So I need to let you know, if you got another shot at it and you sitting there, I'm talking to you ladies that have your babies, tie a knot and hang on. Tie a knot and hang on. Nobody can take care of your babies better than you can. Take it from somebody that knows. I have gotten high for you. I have screwed up for you. Look at that baby. That's what I'm talking about. If you have another shot to have your babies, look. Get with some people where you can let one woman know the whole woman. Look, men and fun and that thing that we used to do ain't nothing more important than being these children's mother. Nothing is more important than that. Take it from somebody who knows. Because the last thing you want is that burden of what you did to your kids. That burden of just maybe if I had been that him sewing, boo-boo kissing, Girl Scout going, I might not see what I may see. Look, let me tell you something. I got a daughter that's going to be 35 on Thursday. And my other girl is 38, right? 35 and 38. When I left, they were 5 and 8, right? When I got them back, they were a little bit older. And I missed out on one of them 6th birthday and 7th birthday and 8th birthday and 9th birthday. I missed her 10th birthday and 11th birthday. And I missed her 12th birthday. You can't get that back. You can't get that back. But I got a chance. God gave me another chance to celebrate 20 and 21 and 22 and 23. And I miss taking them to the amusement park. So every year we all go to Schlitterbahn, except for last year during the pandemic. You know what I'm saying? So those are the amends that we can make. But you don't have to make amends, man, if you just stay. If you just stay. I'm looking at you guys and these beautiful babies. Just stay. Just stay. Just stay. I don't know if I said anything to help you, but I'm going to carry this message until they put me in the box. And it's nothing more beautiful than to run into somebody, because I also need to tell you this. I'm a program director for an outpatient facility called Clean Investment Counseling Center. Holla at me. Abe knows how to get in contact with me. I do what I do. I remember when I didn't even have enough sense to be a counselor. Right? But today I'm one of the best in the city. And you ain't got to tell me that because I know that. Right? My 35-year-old is a clinical social worker. It wasn't nothing I did. Her daddy raised her. But I'm proud to say that she's my daughter. My other daughter has 4 children. Right? And I went over there. She had a jump house for them kids. And I went over there today and just sat and looked at them. Come on, Granny. Okay. Right? Because I get to be somebody's granny today. I get to be granny. So I don't know. Austin Recovery will always have a special place in my heart. Abe is one of my babies, for real. You know what I'm saying? Austin Recovery will, that'll always be home for me. Always. Because see, I don't know about y'all. I didn't know Black folks could get clean until I got to Austin Recovery. And they taught you how to make your bed over again. And it just say, okay. You know, and they taught you how to clean up your room. Because we forgot about all the social graces. And I can tell you, from a place of a foundation, it worked for me. When you leave, get hooked up with people that are going to meetings. They said, find someone who has faced your dilemma and found their way out. This is a program that says any addict can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. My name is LaDonna. I'm an addict. Thank you for letting me share.
So good.
Hey, that was amazing.
Stella! That was.
That's LaDonna.
That was LaDonna. That was not. I like that. Because I'm actually, I used to be a crackhead, so I know how I am.